Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Remember, the interview that's about to happen, all of our interviews, you can find them on the free Odyssey app and at thefanmilwaukee.com. So if you miss anything, you didn't really miss it. You just didn't hear it live, but you can always catch up. It's the beauty of technology.
Let me say something on that, because my mom was looking, and if you have a little confusion and it's like, oh, I can't get all the episodes, you go to the podcast section.
Yeah, right? And there it is.
Like, so yeah, like she, like I had to run a few people through that the other day. So it's like they were looking at our show, and it just, I think you only have about a week catalog. So go to the podcast. Like, this show becomes a podcast, and check it out on Odyssey.
Check out Mason with the knowledge. I love it.
Well, I learned something too. You know, it's like, I don't just like go back and listen.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And all my, you know, the past shows, but you know, my mom's always listening. She's here right now, so she's probably in the house, you know, listening to this.
Everybody's huddled around the old school transistor radio listening to. Yep.
My family doesn't listen to me whenever I speak normally, so I don't know why they want to hear me on the radio all the time.
Hey, welcome to life, my friend. Exactly. Welcome to life. Exactly. Joining the Mason Crosby Show now. He is a friend of show, longtime Packers and Vikings kicker. He is Ryan Longwell. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. Good to be here.
Hey,
always
Ryan.
Good to hear Mason's technical knowledge, you know?
I mean, he is a whiz. Like, he, you know, he if he wasn't a kicker in the NFL, he would have been an IT specialist for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
100%.
Yeah, that's my strength is technology for sure. No,
right.
No. Ryan knows my strength is, you know, my short game around the golf course. You know, he saw that on display at Bandon Dunes, last year.
That's right.
So.
Yep. No, Mason was Bryson DeChambeau before Bryson DeChambeau. Just hit it as far as you can, and then trust the short game to get the score on the scorecard.
Scramble drill. So Ryan, I have a question for you. I really appreciate you jumping on, and so I want to ask you about this NFC North. Obviously, we're heading to the playoffs. You played for the Packers for a very long time, and again, like, before I talk about, you know, deep dive football stuff, I do want to like tell everyone and say a thank you on the air to Ryan Longwell for his support of me through times in Green Bay and things like that. I always remember, you're just such an awesome guy, like a, you know, one of those guys that you would always go out of your way to talk about how tough it was kicking in Green Bay, kind of give me support. You would text me, in struggling times and things like that. So always have appreciated through that, and I'm so thankful that now, as everything's ending, we get to, we've gotten to spend some more time together and get to, hang out on the golf course. So really appreciate you, buddy. And now I'm going to dive into the serious stuff of NFC North, Packers, Vikings, looking at, and obviously this Lions team. We all know when you were playing, right, Lions were just, they were the team you wanted to play because you knew you were going to get a W on the thing. So what do you think, when you watch that Packers-Vikings games, watching these teams, I just would love to hear your take of, like, what you're seeing with that division right now, especially the teams that you played for.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. I think the interesting thing is, come crunch time, what happens, not that it's easy to have a winning streak in the NFL, but there's different kinds of winning streaks. There's winning streaks where, the breaks kind of go your way and you're kind of rolling. And then there's winning streaks like you're just flat out better than the rest, And
yeah.
So I think the indication of the Sunday night game was a little more of, uh-oh, for the Vikings, and oh, we got it going for the Lions,
yeah.
And so I think I don't want to read too much into it, because you can also, dive into the stats and be like, oh, the Vikings struggle in the red zone, and because they went for it, that's why. But when you look at the way Detroit's built, they just beat on you until the fourth quarter, and then they pull away. And that's exactly how that game happened. And so, where the playoffs, as kind of bite you is if you get the wrong matchup, And so that's what I'm real curious, because I don't think we know what the Eagles team is, to be honest with you. Like, we've seen good, we've seen bad, we've seen kind of mediocrity from that roster, and they got a phenomenal running back, they got a quarterback that seems pretty good, but at times hasn't looked great. And so, you just don't know if that's like the good draw of having to go to Philly for a playoff game, or if it's the bad draw, like these guys have all the talent, and once they get in front of their home fans, this is a tough one. And so I think the division is pretty interesting. I do think, depending, kind of taking the records out of the equation, I do think Detroit is the class of the league. But having said that, is their defense is pretty banged up. And defense, defense is the way to go in the playoffs. And so, I thought the Packers should have tried. I think they did. They should have tried to win that game the other day. I think you're always trying to win, but I think it would have been better to win that game for the draw. But then, you kind of dealt with, you got to go on the road and you got to take it on the road. And,
for sure.
We lost in my day, we lost an infamous 4th-and-26 game up there in Philly. And it kind of, kind of lingers that, you hope karma kind of turns the other way.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next. And, do you remember specific games? Let's just talk specifically about Packers and Philly and, going out and playing in Philadelphia. Like, as a kicker, as a player, like, what is that environment like? I was going to paint that picture, throughout this week and that show. Just, those Philly fans are crazy. Our experience on the sideline, kicking into the net, getting ready to go out on the field, some of the stuff that happens, even from the drive-in, the crazy people, that are basically hitting your bus as you're driving into the stadium. So, yeah, tell us about that experience and your playoff experience there in Philly that you had.
Yeah, it's obviously, as you described, very, very hostile. It can get very windy in that stadium. It can get very cold up there, and it looks like there's a cold spell going through, later this weekend. So it's a tough place to kick, very tough place mentally to kick, just like you said, just kind of, filtering out all the stuff you hear on the sideline and going in. So you kind of, I think obviously McManus is very experienced, will handle that okay. But tough environment. The fans are very loud, and when they're rolling, they get very, very pointed with their commentary. We'll just say that. But, we went up there and actually took the fans out of the game. And back in my day, that was a big get and kind of got the lead. And then, like I said, 4th-and-26, they get it. And Akers kicks field goal to tie the game. And we don't get the ball back in overtime. And Akers kicks the game winner. And next thing season's over. But the second they got that 4th and 26, it was like the volume turned up to 20, you know, with that crowd. And then all the momentum was gone, and all the momentum was going against you. So if you have a chance to put them away, you got to put them away. And that is like literally all 60 minutes. I mean, you have to take your shot to put them away.
Yeah, I was going to say that is I think they are a fan base that just like to get after someone. So if this Packers team, like you're saying, if you can go in there and quiet them down and make them kind of turn on themselves, that is the key to getting this this game turned in the right direction. You have to, and I've been saying it for the last couple of days, just this Packers team needs to go on the offensive. They need to be on the attack. They have to go at this team. You're on the road. Do what they did last year against Dallas. Like, go after this team, because like if you try to get in a back and forth, that hasn't been a real good recipe for success for this Packers team. You just got to go take it to them. Don't want it to fall to like that last possession where you're having to either keep them from getting a score or you're having to go down against a really good defense to win the game.
Yeah, and we know how good they are now, but like Andy Reid, you know, probably the best coach in the league, and Donovan McNabb was on an incredible run, and like you said, like their fans were booing them, you know, when they're playing them. So
they just want to hate something
to take out. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, when you got your shot, man, you got to take them out.
So, I just want to, like, obviously, winter weather, tough conditions, obviously us, the two best kickers that have ever come through Green Bay. Let's just put it out there.
No big deal.
But and played in some really crazy environments. Like what was the, like in your memory, like what was the coldest, like toughest, like craziest conditions you ever played in?
Yeah, well, the worst I've ever seen, and not the coldest I ever was, but the worst I've ever seen, we played the Falcons in Lambeau Field. And, back then the Packers had never lost a home playoff game. And it was kind of sleeting. So, back then, the field had a layer of ice on it. And every single person on every team was slipping on this field, except for one guy.
Michael Vick. I remember, Ryan, I remember that game, man. I was screaming at the TV. It looked like he was playing a video game.
It totally looked like he was playing a video game. Like, he was on, like, turf, and we were on an ice skating rink. I mean, I cannot figure it out to this day, but that dude lit us up, and, like, their kicker was slipping, I was slipping. Their punter was slipping, our quarterback was slipping. Like, everybody was slipping except for one guy on this entire field. And Vic goes up there and literally lights us up.
It was unbelievable. And
it was amazing. I mean, hilarious. It was, obviously, you're heartbroken because your season ends. But at the same time, as a sports fan and a football fan, like, you're watching this guy like, wow. Like, that's something that you are gifted with that. You don't learn that.
So, again, as Packers fans, Ryan, we all tore our hair out because we couldn't understand how, like, we had chalked this game up as a win. Like, Atlanta is coming up to Green Bay for a Saturday night weather game in the playoffs. Right. Like, chalk this up. This is an easy win. And you're absolutely right. Like, Vic was playing at a different, like, he was playing a different sport almost. And it just didn't make sense how he adapted so well to that weather.
He was juking like he did in the dome in Atlanta on the turf. I mean, like I said, one of the most phenomenal athletic things. I mean, I've seen a few athletic things that I'm just like, takes your breath away. I would say, Adrian running for 290 whatever yards he did that one game was one of those takes your breath away. But yeah. Michael Vick in that playoff game, man, I just don't know how he kept his footing and how good he was for four quarters. I mean, it kept getting slipperier and slipperier as the game went on, and colder and colder, and his cleats kept sticking better and better. So that was the one that always sticks out when people talk about, it's your work ethic, you got to work hard and you got to do all this. I'm like, yes, but there are a few people that won the gene pool Olympics and just can't coach what they have,
That's awesome. Like, you paint that picture and that memory, and that's kind of something I want to talk to you a little more about as well, as the playoffs, like that memory and that moment, and like how moments in the playoffs just stick out and like have that thing about them. So it's like whenever you have a special player make just do something like out of body experience or just do something exceptional, it stands out so much more in the playoffs. Like regular season, you're like, oh man, that was a great play. That was great. Like it was in the course of the season. But this is now time where if there are any players that, you know, have shown sparks or done good things, this is the time it's all heightened and you want to see those top guys make huge plays. So just tell, like, you know, everybody listening a little bit about like that playoff kind of pressure and the difference as we're journeying into this first week of the NFL playoffs.
Yeah, I always describe it to guys, there is a massive jump between preseason football and the regular season. And for guys coming in their first time out of college, like, you don't really realize, because preseason seems kind of intense because it's the NFL and all that, but there's a massive jump between preseason and the regular season. I feel, and I always felt like, there's the same jump between regular season and playoff football. And The stakes are higher, but it's everybody's watching, and you can live in infamy, both good and bad. I mean, you know, obviously you don't want, in our world, to be, you know, the Scott Norwoods of the world, you know. But if you get in that situation and you miss in our world, I mean, it's there forever, right? And so likewise, on the flip side, you can, you know, kind of write your, as you've done several times, but, you know, big kicks in Dallas and all that stuff. Like, you can, you know, kind of live in infamy for, on the positive side. But I think the thing about the playoffs that always stood out to me is the best players need to play their best. That is for sure. The superstars need to make the superstars play. But to me, it's just the cold black and white ending if you don't win. Like, yeah, it's just, the season is over in an instant. And I was on the wrong side of that with, you know, the Super Bowl that I played in and lost in San Diego. Like, you're kind of like, oh, I guess that's it. But that's kind of the last game of the year. But I didn't really realize it until the next year when Steve Young threw it a TO at the goal line and the last play of the game again in San Francisco and in that wild card game. And all of a sudden, or I mean, I think it was a divisional game. Man, the season's over like that. But more than that, like, Reggie White retires and Mike Holmgren goes to Seattle and the window for that team is closed. And so just the permanent ending is so, so stark in the playoffs that you don't get next week. You don't get a second chance. You don't get a do-over. And I think that's what stuck with me more than anything in the playoffs.
Well, Ryan, yeah, being on the, you know, doing this now, being on the radio, doing a little more media stuff, like, it's, I'm interested to see how I'll feel when this season ends for the Packers. And, like, we're here, we're going to be talking about it, doing things, breaking things down, all that. Like, I know my experience, it's like, it's such a finite end. You come in, you know, that game ends, you go and you have an exit interview, you do your post physicals, you don't watch the game, you don't, like, break it down.
No.
You just move on, and then everyone scatters to the wind for the next, you know, few months, and you go back to work of, like, trying to get your body right, feeling good, doing all that, and it's like you just don't even really discuss what happened in that moment. It ends so abruptly.
And the other side of that is the next time you get together as a team, it's not the same team. There are guys that are gone. There are new guys that are in. That group is never together. And so, like you said, it's not that it, like, ends instantly. It's like there's kind of no closure for that game, that season, and that group of guys.
Yeah, it's not that, like, you want to hang around for, like, a week or two, you know, after and, like, kind of, you know, go through things and have this, like, longer exit, you know, time, but it does feel weird. And it's so different, like, whenever you're out of it and you're not going to make the playoffs. Like, you know, I was so fortunate not to experience that a lot, where there was, like, a long run up to, like, okay, this season's done, we're not going to the playoffs. I think I only did that, I think, 1 year was we knew we weren't making the playoffs, you know, with a couple games to go. And that, you kind of get yourself prepared for the off season.
Yeah,
like, with family too, it's like, that ends, and then it's like, all right, what next? Like, you know, especially, you know, the families, like, if your family lives somewhere else or whatever, you're just like, all right, it's just, I'm on to the next thing. It's over. You know, what are we doing now? And so that is such an interesting, you know, kind of change, and, like, what happens, and you try to fight it off. You want to make the playoffs. You want to go through that. Something I was going to talk about on the show here today as well and throughout the week is the concept, and I was talking to someone earlier, think about, like, what the playoffs are. It is truly, like, you have to like find something else, love of the game. You're not playing for money. You're playing for those moments, that moment of infamy, the moment where you can be, you know, just kind of stamped your place in time. Because guys like Jordan Love, he's getting paid $2.5 million a game right now. Now you go into the playoffs and you're getting, what, 30, 35 for that first playoff game? So this is not about
$35,000.
So everybody takes a pay cut, and it's like you are playing.
Which is so
weird.
You're
putting your body on the line and doing all of this, and it truly becomes this, like, you know, pure football moment.
Yeah, it is. Everybody's equal, but everybody's equally as important. So, like, whether you get 10 snaps a game or 65 snaps a game, like, that $30,000, $35,000 makes you equally as important to the outcome. And so it is a chase to go get a trophy and to have that one lasting memory for the rest of your life that, you know, quite frankly, not many people have, you know? And so it is a chase of, you know, it's kind of weird. I mean, it's the same chase as the preseason when you're getting paid the same. And so
trying to get on
very
that team,
different stakes. Yeah, very different, you know, stakes at the end of it. But it is a, you know, obviously we know in social media world, like, there are selfish guys in the NFL and in sports in general. But the playoff run in the NFL is a very selfless act by everybody because you're all fighting a common fight with a common paycheck for the chance to hoist the trophy, you know? And I think that vulnerability and that, like, kind of equal footing leads to some of these, like, surreal moments where, you know, the sixth or seventh seed will go on a crazy run and go win a Super Bowl. And the number one or number two seeds that have everything going their way will lay an egg in their first playoff game. I think that's how that happens, is because everybody's on equal footing, and the least, if you want to call it that, guy on the roster is just as important now as the most important guy on the roster. Just like the lowest seed is just as important as the highest seed.
That's what I was saying.
A bonus for a first round bye.
It hurts so much worse, like, losing in those playoffs, especially when you had an expectation, because, like, you're just like, okay, regular season ends, whatever. But, like, unless you win that Super Bowl and you are a team that has an opportunity in the playoffs, like, it is like you're laying everything on the line. Like, you know, the pay is less than what it was in the regular season, all the stuff. So it's like that end, something shifts in you where it's like, this is about more than, you know, a job and all those things. It's like, if you don't win that Super Bowl, everything is almost, it's a fail, right? So it's like, because I had a chance in those games.
The other thing that has always fascinated me, and you're kind of seeing that in the college football playoff for the first time this year, like, you know, round one in wild card weekend, like, everybody's talking about every team, how they got this chance and everything like that. But I got news for you. No one in college football is talking about Indiana anymore. You know, like, they had their shot, they lost, and they're yesterday's news instantly. And so that always stuck with me in the NFL, is that, you know, you get to wild card weekend, you get to the divisional round, but by the next weekend, not only are they not talking about you, you, like, don't even exist.
You're gone.
And so, like, you had your shot and you're gone, you know? And so that's just yet another, like, your yesterday's news the second those triple zeros hit and you lost.
Yeah, that's great. I think Tommy, our producer, has a question for you, Ryan. It's probably going to be a great one. He's going to probably trick on me a little bit.
Yeah, he's probably going to make fun of Mason a little bit.
My question is for you, Ryan. This is producer Tommy here. How are you friendly with Mason Crosby? Because every time now I look into these interviews before we go into them to try to get a question here. I mean, I think you had to feel pretty confident that after 1 year of Dave Rayner, the Packers hadn't had a kicker, right? And you thought maybe, hey, I could be the all-time leading scorer in Green Bay football history. And then Mason Crosby comes in, steals it away from you here. I then go look at your Wikipedia page to see if there's anything I could ask about other than that. And it has all these second leading scorer in Green Bay history, second most field goals in Green Bay history, second most points by a player who's never made a Pro Bowl, only behind Mason Crosby as well, too. And on top of it, you can't even have your own unique middle name because Walker should be a very unique middle name, and apparently it's also Mason Crosby's middle name. So how are you friends with Mason Crosby?
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Well, there's so much to unpack there, but let me just
we don't have time for this. This is like a psychology department.
I love it.
So first off, I do think it is very odd that before me, Chris Jackie was very, very good. And then I came in, and then Mason came in. And not to pat ourselves on the back, but I think we've been pretty good for, you know, 30 years of kicking. And to not have any of us go to the Pro Bowl is pretty shocking. And, like, agreed. Not all years are equal, but I know I put up some unbelievable years. And I know Mason put up some really unbelievable years. And to not get to the Pro Bowl is pretty crazy for what we have to put up with in Green Bay. But I will tell you this. So when you know, I left to Minnesota, Dave Rander came in and kind of struggled, and then they drafted Mason. Yeah, I mean, Mason kind of talked about this earlier, but I saw this guy with a huge leg, and because of that, Coach McCarthy kept sending him out from 50-plus, and his numbers didn't look as good as he was actually kicking. And so I don't know if it changed things, but I remember when the first time or second time we played the Pack, I mean, I kind of went to bat for Mason and said, listen, what you see is not what is reality, because reality is hitting it really well inside 50 yards. He's going to be great. Now, did I know he was going to last forever and a day? No, but I just felt like we were fighting a common fight, even though I was wearing a different uniform. Like, he was going through what I went through, and I thought he had a good attitude and demeanor about it, so he was willing to fight for. And so that was before we knew each other and then got to know each other, and obviously the rest is history, but I just thought he had a great attitude. I thought he was fighting a fight that I had already fought, and so I was going to defend him because I saw what was going on. But, you know, I don't mind being second leading scorer and second all this because he deserved it. And I will say one other thing is I was proud that I was actually at the game. I don't get to a lot of Packers games anymore, but I was actually at the game where he broke my record. So it's kind of cool to see that, you know, he was doing that, and then he obviously kept going strong. But
Well, Ryan, hey, officially,
you know, I'm a big fan of him over producer Tommy's, you know, kind of take that we should be rivals. I didn't approach it quite that way.
Well, see, yeah, this is Ryan Longwell, the nicest and best person for being a Green Bay kicker in history, like, no doubt. I mean,
I guess that would be my question: how you guys are friends? Because he's so nice.
Yeah.
y'all are the worst. but the one moment where I was like, it was, you know, and again, Ryan's just like, you know, his brevity in this and like how he handles things. When I'm at his Packer Hall of Fame and I'm sitting there and I'm watching Talsher was going in at the same time and they're listing off his stuff, Ryan, you did have one over me, and it was the most consecutive games with a field goal. So you still hold a record there for Green Bay.
Take that, Mason. Yeah. Take that. So,
Ryan, man, I appreciate you. We didn't get to what you're doing now. You know, you're coaching at Cal. You're, you worked, you know, at that Albany resort. You've done some awesome things. Hope to have you on again. Another time.
Yeah, Mason, it's just an excuse. It's just an excuse to have him on again, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, let's do it.
We dove deep into the playoffs. Well, Ryan, hey man, I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for jumping on today, bud.
Appreciate you. All right, Mace.
Thank you, Ryan. That's Ryan. That's Ryan Longwell, second all-time leading scorer with our Green Bay Packers. I mean, it's true. True story. Man, you know,
the three words I had for Tommy are they are so true.
So
I
mean, true right now.
I went and looked. I tried, and literally, you're all over his Wikipedia. I feel so bad, man. That was crazy when I did that.
He went on. I mean, he played 15, 16 years.
16 years.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, he had a great career.
Absolutely,
yeah. Ryan's the best. I mean, he is the best of us. He, like, just the way he handles himself. Like, he is a guy that I've always looked up to, and so thankful I can call him a friend. Here as we are getting older. So
absolutely,
Tommy. So, hopefully, you have friends when you get older, because at this point, I'm not sure.
This is what you guys are for.
Wow,
that's why we're here.
Good
paid friends.
Good luck with that. Our thanks to Ryan Longwell for jumping on. Fantastic interview. And if you're just tuning in now, make sure to get to the free Odyssey app or thefanmilwaukee.com and catch up on that, because it was awesome. And we'll definitely have him on again, because we have a lot of things we didn't get to and we want to get to. I know that, you know, we could talk about the current Aaron Rodgers documentary and stuff like that, but I'd actually want to ask Ryan about, like, there were times where he was being hounded for Aaron Rodgers information about, was he retiring? Was he not retiring? Where was he going? What was he going to do next? Brett Favre, where he was kind of like the Brett Favre mouthpiece.
Yeah.
And like people were like blowing up Ryan Longwell's phone, and Ryan would be like, I don't know. Like,
and he just handles things so well.
Right. Yeah, he was always so smooth. He was always so kind and like, and responsible and mature about those conversations. Even when people were like, what's Brett doing? What's he going to do? And like, people were like all over Ryan Longwell about that. And it's like, oh, dude, yeah. Chill, relax.
I know.
So we got to get to those conversations.
But that's what kickers, you know, we carry the weight of like the, you know, the responsibility of things.
You really
everyone else can just hide out and do the things. We protect our quarterback.
Speaking of kickers, Dallas Cowboy, the best kicker in the world, his coach is in the news. So let's talk a little Mike McCarthy and NFL coaching carousel when we get back, how that might affect the Green Bay Packers as well. Thank you to Ryan Longwell. He's Mason Crosby. My name is Mitch Nels, a.k.a. Thunder. Tommy's on the other side of the glass. You're listening to the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.